नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम Second Canto, Chapter 5, The Cause of All Causes, Text 32. Jadaite Asangata Bhava Bhutendriya Mano Gunaha Jadayatana Nirmane Na Shekur Brahma Vityama. Jadaite Sangata Bhava Bhutendriya Mano Gunaha Yadayatana Nirmane Na Shekur Brahma Vityama Jadaite Sangata Bhava Bhutendriya Mano Gunaha Yadayatana Nirmane Shekur Brahma Vityama Jadaite Sangata Bhava Bhutendriya Mano Gunaha Yadayatana Nirmane Na Shekur Brahma Vityama
Yadaite Sangata Bhava
Matajis. Yada, as long as, ete, all these, asangataha, without being assembled, bhava, remained so situated, bhuta, elements, indriya, senses, manaha, mind, gunaha, modes of nature, yada, so long, ayatana, the body, nirmane, in being formed, na sheku, was not possible, brahmavittama, O Narada, the best knower of transcendental knowledge. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O Narada, best of the transcendentalists, the forms of the body cannot take place as long as these created parts, namely the elements, senses, mind, and modes of nature, are not assembled. Please repeat. O Narada,
O Narada,
best of the transcendentalists,
best of the transcendentalists,
the forms of the body cannot take place,
the forms of the body cannot take place,
as long as these created parts,
parts,
namely the elements,
elements,
senses,
mind,
and modes of nature,
are not assembled.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The different types of bodily construction of the living entities are exactly like different types of motor cars manufactured by assembling the allied motor parts. When the car is ready, the driver sits in the car and moves it as he desires. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 18:61. The living entity is as if seated in a machine of the body, and the car of the body is moving by the control of the material nature. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki. Just as the railway trains are moving under the direction of the controller, the living entities, however, are not the bodies. They are separate from the cars of the body. But the less intelligent material scientist cannot understand the process of assembling the parts of the body, namely the senses, the mind, and the qualities of the material modes. Every living entity is a spiritual spark, part and parcel of the Supreme Being. And by the kindness of the Lord, for the Father is kind to His sons, the individual living beings are given a little freedom to act according to their will, to lord it over the material nature. Just as a father gives some playthings to the crying child to satisfy him, the whole material creation is made possible by the will of the Lord to allow the bewildered living entities to lord it over things as they desire, although under the control of the agent of the Lord. The living entities are exactly like small children playing the material field under the control of the maidservant of the Lord, nature. They accept the Maya or the maidservant as all in all, and thus wrongly conceive the supreme truth to be feminine, goddess Durga, etc. The foolish childlike materialist cannot reach beyond the conception of the maidservant, material nature. But the intelligent grown-up sons of the Lord know well that all the acts of material nature are controlled by the Lord, just as a maidservant is under the control of the master, the father of the undeveloped children. The parts of the body, such as the senses, are the creation of the Mahatattva, and when they are assembled by the will of the Lord, the material body comes into existence and the living entity is allowed to use it for further activities. This is explained as follows. So since it says, as it follows, so I'll just read the next verse also, and then the next verse I'll read the translation. Anyway, the next verse goes like, Tada sanghatya channonnam bhagavat shakti chodita sahasattam upadaya chobhayam shashrijar rida. Thus, when all these become assembled by force of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this universe certainly came into being by accepting both the primary and secondary causes of creation. So, primary and secondary causes of creation. So, purport. In this verse, it is clearly mentioned that the Supreme Personality of Godhead exerts his different energies in the creation. It is not that he himself is transformed into material creation. He expands himself by his different energies as well as by his plenary portions. In a corner of the spiritual sky of Brahma Jyoti, a spiritual cloud sometimes appears, and the covered portion is called the Mahatattva. The Lord then, by his plenary portion as Mahavishnu, lies down within the water of Mahatattva, and the water is called the causal ocean, Karanava Jala. While Mahavishnu sleeps within the causal ocean, innumerable universes are generated along with his breathing. These universes are floating and they are scattered all over the causal ocean. They stay only during the breathing period of Mahavishnu. In each and every universal globe, the same Mahavishnu enters again as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu and lies there on the serpentine Shesha incarnation. From his navel sprouts a lotus stem, and on the lotus, Brahma, the Lord of the universe, is born. Brahma creates all forms of living beings of different shapes in terms of different desires within the universe. He also creates the sun, moon, and other demigods. Therefore, the chief engineer of the material creation is the Lord himself, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.10. It is he only who directs the material nature to produce all sorts of moving and non-moving creations. There are two modes of material creation. The creation of the collective universe, as stated above, done by the Mahavishnu, and the creation of the single universe, both are done by the Lord, and thus the universal shape, as we can see, takes place. Jadaite sangata bhava bhutendriya mano gunah yadayatana nirmane na shokur na shekur brahma vittama. O Narad, best of the transcendentalists, the forms of the body cannot take place as long as these created parts, namely the elements, senses, mind, and the modes of nature, are not assembled. So, Brahma is instructing Narad Muni about the creation, how the creation takes place. And in his purport, Srila Prabhupada also gave a very clear understanding of the creation. Prabhupada pointed out that in the spiritual sky, Brahma Jyoti, a cloud appears, and that cloud is Mahatattva or causal ocean. And Mahavishnu lies there in the causal ocean, and due to his breathing, the creation takes place, the universal creation takes place. And as he breathes, every single bubble that is caused by his breathing is the shell of the universe, the universal shell, which is empty within. Then Mahavishnu enters into that universal shell. Within the empty universal shell, and then he fills up half of the universe with water generated from his body. And then he lies on that ocean of water, which is known as Garbhodak. So universe here is compared to the womb, Garbha, and the water of the womb. So Garbhodakshayi Vishnu lies on that water, on the bed of Anantashesha, and then from his navel comes out a lotus. And the first created being and the engineer of the universe, Brahma, is situated there. And then Brahma causes the secondary creation. First aspect of creation is possible or made possible by Karanadakshayi Vishnu or Mahavishnu and Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Then Brahma is assigned with the responsibility to do the interior decoration. Brahma does the internal engineering or creation. He fills in all the things that are needed in the universe. That is done by Brahma, by the instruction of the Lord, of course. Brahma is an empowered personality. Brahma is, in one aspect, is a gunavatar, and Brahma is also a Shaktavesh avatar. Shaktavesh is empowered by the Lord. Actually, no one can do anything. Everything that we do is by the mercy of the Lord, by the potency of the Lord. Our potency, our ability is only an expansion of the Lord's potency. The Lord does everything. Like, for example, our consciousness is coming from Him. So when our consciousness is coming from Him, then we can see, like, practically everything is happening by His mercy. Saint Prabhupada. So everything is everything, like, although we may think that we are the doers, but actually we are not the doers under any circumstances. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna made that point very clear, that prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa. In the material nature, everyone is functioning, everything is happening by the arrangement of guna and karma. Three modes of material nature, guna, and our own karma. What is karma? Karma is the simple action-reaction principle. We have acted in a certain way, and now we are getting the results of that action. And then, as we are acting now, our future activities will be determined by that. Things are happening just in a mechanical order in that way. We do not actually have any freedom or independence to do anything. Although we may think that we are the doers, ahankara bimhuratma kartaham iti manna. Being bewildered, bimhuda, by our ahankar, false ego, we think ourselves to be the doers, kartaham iti mannate. So that is the material condition, our condition in this material nature. We are thinking that we are the doers, but actually, whatever we are doing is determined or arranged by guna and karma. Our condition is very much like a puppet. The puppet dances, and it seems that the puppet is dancing. But is the puppet dancing? Does the puppet have the ability to dance? No. It is the puppeteer who is actually pulling the strings. And as a result of that, the puppet's different limbs of the puppet is moving. Now, if the puppet is given the ability to think that he is somebody, then what will the puppet think? The puppet will think that he is doing everything, he is dancing. And people are clapping. Oh, such a beautiful dance. And the puppet thinks, oh, they're clapping me. Clapping for my performance. But actually it is the puppeteer who is making the puppet dance. Now, who is the puppeteer in this case? Puppeteer is the material nature. And puppeteer makes the puppet dance with the strings. What are the strings here? The strings here is the modes of the material nature. An interesting thing to note here is that guna also means rope. So prakriti is making the living entities act in different ways by the influence of these gunas or the ropes. Just as a puppeteer makes the puppets dance through manipulating the strings. So that's what the prakriti is doing. And what is karma here? Karma is the result of the false ego. We have been endowed with a thing called false ego. Living entity is influenced by false ego. The mistaken identity. I and mine in the context of the material nature. Identifying himself with the body, he begins to act. And those actions generate reaction. So these are the two principles by which the entire material nature is manipulated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guna and karma. And material nature is the controller of both the guna and karma. She is endowed with the guna and she is also generator of the results of the karma. This is the thing that Krishna has set in this material nature. There is a concept called autopilot. Especially in the planes, they have this autopilot. After the plane is set, after it takes off, then it is just set into autopilot. Then the pilot don't have to do anything. It's all set. Pilot can even go to sleep, putting the autopilot on. And the plane moves by itself. And so Krishna set this material nature in that autopilot. And what is the controlling factor of the autopilot? Guna and karma. Everything is happening by guna and karma. And Krishna is now, he doesn't have to get involved. And this autopilot is manipulated by prakriti or maya, external energy of Krishna. Krishna is not involved directly with this material nature. So that is the condition of a living entity. That although things are happening by the arrangement of guna and karma, and he is actually completely helpless. He can't do anything about it. He doesn't have anything, any ability to change this, make any change in this arrangement. He is helplessly subjected to this arrangement. Sometimes he goes to the higher planetary system, sometimes he goes to the lower planetary systems. Sometimes he enjoys, sometimes he suffers. Sometimes he is situated in a very, very wonderful situation. He takes a birth as a prince. And sometimes he is born as a pauper. Sometimes he is very powerful, very handsome. Sometimes he is crippled and ugly. So this is how things are happening in this material nature due to the arrangement of guna and karma. Now at least we have some control over our karma. But guna is controlled by the material nature. Material nature is controlling the guna, and we have some independence to act according to our plan, according to our desire. That arrangement is that we can act in a pious way or we can act in an impious way. We can act in a, when we act in a pious way, then the result of those pious activities is enjoyment. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai ki jai. So sometimes we can act in a living entity can act in a pious way. And that is the only freedom he has. He can act in a certain way. He can decide whether he will act in a pious way, whether he will act in a right way, or whether he will act in a wrong way. That freedom only he has. But the result of his actions are determined by the modes of the material nature, are controlled by the material nature. And material nature in that sense is impartial. It is not that material nature is saying that somebody should suffer and somebody should enjoy. Material nature is just completely neutral. And the modes are acting according to the living entities, activities, and the results are automatically generated. So, in this material nature, prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha, everything is happening by the arrangement of guna and karma. But ahankara vimuratma karta iti manmate, being bewildered by false ego, ahankar, a living entity, thinks that he is the doer. Now, in a way, he is the doer because he has the control over his karma. He can decide how he will act. But he doesn't actually have any control over what has already been determined. So, in this way, we can see that in the material nature, although the living entity thinks that he is the controller, but still he is not a controller. Therefore Krishna is saying bimuratma, being completely bewildered, he thinks himself to be the doer. And then when one acts on the spiritual nature, on the spiritual platform, then what happens? On the spiritual platform, he becomes an instrument in the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus, he becomes empowered by the Lord. Because he decides to work for the sake of the Lord, he becomes empowered by the Lord. So that is the difference between material platform and the spiritual platform. In this material platform, a living entity thinks that he is the doer, he is the controller. Although he thinks and although he wants to act in that way, although he has some freedom and independence to act that way, although the arrangement is there for him to think that he is the doer, but in reality he is not the doer. And the result of that, the more he tries to become independent, the more miserable he becomes. Because by nature he is not independent. By nature he doesn't have the ability to control. Therefore, the final instruction of Bhagavad Gita is sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam brajat. Surrender. Give up this tendency of independence. Give up this desire to lord over. Just surrender unto me. Because that is your constitutional position. In your constitutional position, you are a dependent individual. You can't be independent because you are only a part, an insignificant part and parcel. It is simply due to your false ego, you are thinking that you are the doer. But see what's happening to you. You are thinking to become, you are thinking that you are the doer, you are the controller, and you are trying to control everything, you are trying to lord over everything. But look what you have done to yourself. That is how the Lord is instructing through the scriptures. And when he comes, he also makes that same arrangement. He tries to teach the living entities surrender. When he comes, he makes a beautiful arrangement. Especially in the other ages, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga and Dwapar Yuga. He allows the demons to become very, very powerful. And then he smashes them. He makes the demons appear to be so powerful, practically invincible, practically immortal, practically the supreme powerful. Like Hiranyakashipu practically became immortal. Kamsa practically became immortal. Shishupal, Dantavakra, Jarasandha. They were so powerful that no one could actually defeat them. They were powerful on that plane. And everybody was awestruck. Even the demigods used to tremble with fear. It has been described when Agasura was so powerful that the demigods couldn't do anything to him. But that's why they were surprised when they saw that this Agasura was killed by Krishna. And then Brahma saw that Agasura's soul left his body through his cerebral hole, Brahmarandhra, from his brain center, and then merged into Krishna's body. Brahma was watching. And Brahma wondered, who is this boy? Who is this person who could kill Agasura, who was the cause of fear even for the demigods? He was killed like that by this little boy. Jarasandha was another very powerful personality. Shishupal, Dantavakra, Kamsa, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, extremely powerful people. We can't even imagine how powerful these individuals were. And then Krishna killed them, or his appearing as incarnations, he killed them. So what does it actually mean? It means that no matter how powerful you are not a match to the Supreme Personality of God. No matter how powerful you are, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is even more powerful than you are. So, what should be the intelligent proposal? Surrender unto Him. Like these characters had to surrender, ultimately. So why don't you surrender? And especially when He is taking care of you so wonderfully, why not surrender? By surrendering, what are you going to lose? By surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are not going to lose anything, but you are going to gain everything. Therefore, surrendering to the Lord is the best option for every living entity. And this surrender actually brings one to the platform of the spiritual platform. The surrender to the Lord is the criteria for coming to the spiritual platform. There are two planes. Defiance to the Lord is the material platform. Surrender to the Lord is the spiritual platform. So when one surrenders to the Lord, then everything becomes easy. Then one doesn't have to struggle. Then everything becomes easy. And whatever he wants to do for the Lord, he provides, he empowers him. So devotees are empowered individuals. To begin with, we do not have any ability. To begin with, we do not have any power. In the material platform, everything is, we are not doing anything. Everything is happening according to the guna and karma. Although we are thinking that we are the doers, but we are not the doers. Everything is happening according to the arrangement of guna and karma. So to begin with, we do not have any ability to do anything. So now when you come to the spiritual platform, there also we understand, at least in the spiritual platform, we understand that we do not have any ability to do anything. Therefore, we surrender. And when we surrender, then the next thing, next platform is, we surrender and then because we are conscious living entities, we have desires. Consciousness and desire go hand in hand. Conscious desire is a byproduct of consciousness. Desire is a natural consequence of consciousness. Like wherever there is consciousness, there must be desire. The more conscious one is, greater is his desire. So a living entity is a conscious being. So naturally he'll have desire. It is not that when you come to the spiritual platform, when you surrender, we become devoid of desire. But we desire for Krishna. That is the difference. In the material platform, we desire for our sense gratification, and in the spiritual platform, we desire to serve or please the Supreme Personality of God. A devotee, a surrendered soul, is not devoid of desire. He is full of desire, but his desires are only centered around Krishna. He wants to do things for Krishna. And when he desires for Krishna, then Krishna provides. And that is the meaning of becoming empowered. A devotee is always empowered by Krishna. Whether he is cutting the vegetables or whether he is preaching all over the world. All that he does is nothing but being empowered by Krishna. And Krishna will, and ultimately it is up to Krishna. We may desire to do so many things, but Krishna will see what he wants us to do. And that is the difference between material desire and spiritual desire. When the material, in the material platform, when the desires are fulfilled, then we become happy. And when the desires are unfulfilled, when the desires are frustrated, then we feel disappointed. Why? Because we are thinking that we are the controller, we are the doer. Therefore, we become affected by the fulfillment of desire and disappointment of desire. Whereas in the spiritual platform, because a devotee is surrendered, he simply depends upon Krishna. If some desires are fulfilled, then he feels very happy that Krishna has accepted my service, Krishna has accepted my offering. And when the desire is unfulfilled, when he wanted to do something and it doesn't happen, he feels, well, Krishna didn't want this to happen. And that's why a devotee is unaffected. A devotee's characteristic is dukkhesha anudvignavana sukhecha vigatasprika. In distress, he is not affected. His mind is not agitated. He is not agitated in distress, and he is not excited in happiness. He is not attached to happiness. And that is the outcome, that is the result of surrender. When we surrender, then we do not become affected, whether our desires are fulfilled or frustrated. And whenever a devotee does something, as I mentioned, whether he is cutting vegetables or he is preaching all over the world, he sees that it is just a matter of Krishna becoming empowered by Krishna. Whatever he is doing is by Krishna's mercy. Whatever is happening is by Krishna's divine arrangement. And this is how he remains unaffected in all circumstances. There may be all kinds of things happening. Apparently, externally, there may be so much storm, so much turmoil. And sometimes he does get affected by that, but then immediately after that, he becomes peaceful. Sometimes a devotee does get affected by the external situation, but then he comes back to his senses. Why am I getting affected by this? It is Krishna's arrangement. Let me just accept it. After all, I have nothing to lose or to gain. Whatever I am doing is for Krishna. Whatever is happening is due to Krishna's arrangement. So why should I be affected? And of course, to get things done, he makes things move, because in the material nature nothing moves unless there is an external pressure. Therefore, devotees, to get things done, he screams and shouts. He uses all kinds of arrangements to make things happen. But he himself remains aloof and detached. And that's why internally he is in a very, very peaceful situation. Internally he is completely calm. So that is the benefit of surrender. Surrender means we are submitting to the person's We are submitting to the person and let him decide what he wants to do with me. So controller and controlled. Lord and servant. So now the choice is ours. Whether we want to be whether we want to control or whether we want to be controlled. Whether we want to lord over or whether we are going to submit to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether we are going to accept His authority or whether we are going to establish our authority in defiance to His authority. And that will determine whether we will become a devotee or a demon. If we surrender to Krishna, then we become devotees. If we defy Krishna, then we will become a demon. And we have seen the demons, no matter how powerful they are, ultimately they suffer. Ultimately they lose everything. Whereas a devotee, because he surrendered to Krishna, everything becomes so wonderful for him. When he is serving the Lord, he enjoys. And when the Lord accepts him, his service, he enjoys. Even when the Lord doesn't accept his service, still then he enjoys just by rendering the service. Therefore, the intelligent option is to become a devotee of Krishna. The devotees will always win. How they will win, they do not worry about that. They know that ultimately they will win. That is the conviction that the Pandavas always had. That no matter whatever is happening to us, we know that ultimately we are going to win. Because we have surrendered to Krishna. Yudhishthira Maharaj was convinced. He said, Krishna, as long as you are there and Arjuna is with you, our victory is guaranteed. And in between, whatever happens, who worries about that? Whatever happens is also full of excitement. For example, Vasudev told the Pandavas when they were in Ekachakra, Vasudev came to them one day and told them about Draupadi and said, you go to the province of Panchal and Drupa's daughter Draupadi is there for you to marry. So they went to the Panchal. They were not making any effort. Draupadi Swayambara was called. It was the Kshatriyas who actually would do the get involved in Swayambara to win the hands of the princess, the most beautiful princess, the most beautiful woman of that time. So they went there as brahmanas, completely devoid of any opulence. They were just poor, wearing very simple. Dhoti. Sitting in the assembly with the Brahmanas. Vyasadeva told them that Draupadi will eventually get married to you. But they were watching the fun. One after another princes were coming and trying. And they all were failing. They just sat there watching. Then finally no Kshatriya was qualified. Then Drishtadyumna, Draupadi's brother, made the announcement that so it seems that there is no qualified candidate for Draupadi. But if there is any Brahmana who would like to win her, can give it a try. Still then, the Pandavas did not show any interest. They were just sitting there. And then Drishtadyumna again made that announcement. Because according to the Vedic culture, the marriage must take place between the same caste. A Kshatriya's daughter should get married to a Kshatriya prince. A Kshatriya boy. A Brahmana girl should get married to a Brahmana boy. Similarly, a Vaishya would get married to a Vaishya. But if a boy of a higher class gets married to a girl of a lower class, that is acceptable. A Brahmana can marry a Kshatriya girl. But a Brahmana girl will not marry a Kshatriya boy. A girl from a higher caste cannot marry a boy from a lower caste. Whereas a boy from a higher caste can marry a girl from a lower caste. So since there was no candidate from a suitable candidate in the Kshatriya side, so Drishtadyumna said, a Brahmana can give it a try. And so finally, Arjun got up. And when Arjun got up, all the Brahmanas started to criticize him, saying that seeing this beautiful princess, this Brahmana has gone mad. So, and they were saying, sit down, bring embarrassment to the Brahmanic community. When all the Kshatriyas failed, they didn't succeed, and you are going to give it a try. How is it? So they were just shouting at him, they were screaming at him. But then some others said, well, if he wants to give it a try, why not? Give him a chance. And in this way, there was a lot of controversy in that. And anyway, so finally Arjun won Draupadi. So, although a devotee knows the ultimate outcome, what the ultimate outcome will be, but still he remains unaffected by that. He just waits. If Krishna wants, why should I rush into it? Let me take my time. Things will happen by Krishna's arrangement. If Krishna wants something to happen, it will happen. Why should I be affected? Now, isn't it a nice stand to take? Isn't it an intelligent stand to take? Why rush in? Take it easy. If Krishna wants, it will happen. So that is the meaning of surrender. Depend upon Krishna. Don't consider that you are the doer. Depend upon Krishna. recognize that Krishna is the doer, and if Krishna wants you to do something, then he'll make it happen through you. And actually, Krishna wants to glorify his devotees. Krishna wants to give the greater credit to his devotees. So if we become devotees, then Krishna will give us so much. Krishna will give us so much credit. Krishna will give us so much glory. Not that we are interested in that glory and credit, but Krishna's nature is that he does, he gives that glory to his devotee. And how he will do it, it's up to him. A very wonderful example is Prabhupada himself. Apparently for 44 years, Prabhupada was struggling and struggling and struggling. In 1922, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him to go out and spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. And from that time onwards, Prabhupada was dying to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But it took him 44 years. But then eventually we see how Krishna made things happen. In an incredible way, in a most amazing way, Krishna consciousness movement spread throughout the world in 10 years' time. So this is how Krishna works, and this is how a devotee simply waits for Krishna's plans to unfold. So Prabhupada never gave up. He never thought that, oh, I am trying for so hard but nothing is happening. No, Prabhupada had the full conviction and he was trying to spread Krishna consciousness in the most sincere way. But then we saw how Krishna made things happen in such a wonderful way. One day I heard Prabhupada himself telling that to one of his old acquaintances, Dr. Bimalananda Tarkatirtha, a very well-known Ayurvedic doctor in Calcutta. He came to see Srila Prabhupada and treat him in Mayapur in 77. And sometimes Prabhupada would sit with him and talk. And Prabhupada was telling him that ever since Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him to spread Krishna consciousness, teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the world through English language, he had been trying and trying and trying. He tried in so many ways. Prabhupada was telling that he thought that he would make Prabhupada thought that he would run his business, make a lot of money, and with that money he would go to the West and spread Krishna consciousness. But he didn't succeed. And eventually when Krishna sent him to the West, he sent him as a pauper. No money, nothing, no support, no resources. But then, by his mercy, things started to happen. In 10 years' time, an incredible thing happened. So this is how Krishna works. And that's what Prabhupada was telling, that Krishna actually taught him that when Krishna wants something to happen, then he'll make all the arrangements. We don't have to worry. But of course, that doesn't mean that we should just sit tight and not do anything and wait for Krishna to make things happen. No. A devotee tries his best. At the same time, he waits for Krishna's mercy. And then when Krishna wants, Krishna will make things happen. So this is how wonderful Krishna is, and this is how wonderful it is to become surrendered to Krishna and become his devotee. So the bottom line is, become a very good devotee of Krishna. Don't hold anything back. Just surrender yourself completely to Krishna. Just surrender. And you'll see what happens when you make that surrender. Become simple-hearted and surrender. In order to surrender, that's one qualification that we need. We have to become simple-hearted. With a complex heart, we cannot surrender. In order to surrender, we have to become simple. We have to become like a child. It's not that we behave like a child, but internally we become like a child. But externally we act as the wisest person. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Does anyone have any question? Give him the mic. Switch it on.
In the domain of Krishna consciousness.
What's that? I couldn't hear you.
In the domain.
In the domain.
In our Krishna consciousness service, we try so many things to bring out the adequate and desired output. So my question is that how much we are free to choose our effective options in our service of Krishna consciousness?
Submit to the authority. You don't decide what will be your service. The service, rendering service, is executed by the order of the authority. And everybody has an authority. Like for example in ISKCON, temple devotees have their authorities, the departmental heads. The departmental heads, their authorities, the temple president. The temple president has his authority, the GBC. The GBC has its authority as the GBC body. And ultimately the GBC body is functioning according under the authority of Srila Prabhupada. And in ISKCON, there the buck stops. Prabhupada is the final authority, the ultimate authority. So the way to render service is what our authorities want. And this authority structure in the Vaishnava community is very important. If the authority structure is broken, there will be disturbance. Vaishnava means submissive. To whom do we become submissive? We become submissive to a higher authority. So more submissive we become, the more pleased Krishna will be. So, our attitude will be, what does our authority want? What does Prabhupada want? What does Prabhupada want me to do? That should be everyone's concern. And Prabhupada's instruction is that spread Krishna consciousness. Now the consideration is whether I should do it independently or whether I should do it under the authority structure of ISKCON. If somebody wants to do it independently, he can do that. But then again, Prabhupada will not be pleased. Prabhupada wanted all of us to function under the structure of ISKCON. And to function under ISKCON means function under the authority structure of ISKCON. But at the same time, sometimes we find that some individuals can't accept the authority structure of ISKCON. They want to be independent. So we say, okay, fine. If that is how you want to serve, go ahead, at least continue to serve. At least that's what I do. Sometimes devotees say that I want to go to Vrindavan. I want to go to Govardhan and stay there. And I see that they can't accept the authority structure. I say, okay, then go to Govardhan and serve. At least remain a servant of Krishna. Don't fall into Maya. It'll be difficult not to fall into Maya when you are alone. Maya is so strong, and when you are alone, it's very difficult to overcome the influence of Maya. That's why we need the association of devotees. And that's why Prabhupada created ISKCON. So if we are in ISKCON, we are safe. If we are not in ISKCON, it is difficult. I have seen very strong, powerful individuals could not maintain their Krishna consciousness by themselves. Whereas a very weak devotee in ISKCON, he is carrying on without any difficulty. Isn't it? But if somebody thinks that he is strong enough to avoid, to fight with Maya, to overcome the influence of Maya, can give it a try. You try and see what happens. But the safe course is to stay in ISKCON, and to stay in ISKCON means we have to accept authority structure. And Prabhupada pointed out the GBC is the ultimate managing authority. Now somebody questioned, oh, Prabhupada said that GBC is the ultimate managing authority only for the management part of it. But for spiritual things, GBCs, you don't have to listen to. I don't need to accept GBC. And ISKCON, I'll create a new ISKCON. This ISKCON is bad. This ISKCON is corrupt. This ISKCON is rotten. Prabhupada took so much trouble to create this ISKCON. And is it just for our leaving this shelter? No. So the safe course to take is stay in ISKCON, even though it may be difficult, but at the end, the outcome will be wonderful. And as far as rendering service, you see, that is the difference between devotional service and karma yoga. You see, karma yoga is we act according to our desire and offer the result to Krishna. When we act according to our desire and offer the result to Krishna, that is karma yoga. But when we act according to the instruction of the authority, whether we like to do it or not, with a humble, submissive attitude, then it is devotional service. That's the difference between karma yoga and devotional service. When I do it with a submissive attitude to the higher authority, which in general condition is a spiritual master. But you see, in ISKCON, just the Diksha Guru is not the only authority. The real authority structure is the authority structure that Srila Prabhupada created. Therefore, in ISKCON, we have to understand that the authority structure of ISKCON is even higher than the spiritual master's authority. Because the spiritual masters in ISKCON are functioning within the authority structure of ISKCON. It is the ISKCON that gives them the power or the approval to give initiation, accept disciples, right? And if the ISKCON society thinks that somebody is not qualified to be a guru, then they may stop him from giving initiation. So the guru in ISKCON is not an authority by himself. The gurus in ISKCON are functioning under the authority structure of ISKCON. Therefore, who is higher? The authority structure is higher. That's why the authority structure must be followed, and then only ISKCON will become strong. Otherwise, anyway, so you get the point, right? Yes, Sitaram, he doesn't need a mic. It has to be reciprocal. It's not that one party is humble and the other party is arrogant, right? Then, you know, the line of reciprocation will not be there. Line of communication or line of functioning will be interrupted, right? So both have to be qualified, right? The individual member has to be humble, and the person in power or in authoritative position have to be just and fair and compassionate. So this is what will create the reciprocation. So ultimately it's a matter of leader and follower. But the first qualification actually is the leader's qualification. He has to be qualified. Then the followers will follow. It's not that the followers will be qualified and the leader unqualified. It won't work. If the followers are qualified, but if the leader is unqualified, nothing will be achieved. But if the leader is qualified, then he will create the followers. He'll qualify the followers. Because he's in a higher position to train the people under him. But the people, those who are below, they can't train the person who is above. Right? Although in democracy, that's what they try to do. But it doesn't work. So ultimately, it's a matter of qualification. The leader has to be qualified, the follower has to be qualified. Right? Then it will create a perfect match. The guru must be qualified, the disciple must be qualified. Yes, then it will work. But if the guru is not qualified, then what will you expect out of the disciples? That's why the expression Sadguru, bona fide spiritual master, which simply means qualified spiritual master. And what is the qualification of a spiritual master? He has to function as an agent of Krishna, as a via medium. Agent, representative of Krishna. Then, yes, those who want Krishna, they will see, yes, he is giving us Krishna. And they will surrender. And the teacher also has to be Gyanina Stattva Darshina. He has to be situated in absolute truth and he must be the seer of the truth. Give him the mic.
In the institutional infrastructure, sometimes we feel our spiritual life to be very much complacent. And at the same time, we create some comfort zone in our life. So we might be so much attached to that, that creates a big problem in our spiritual life and organizational community life. So my question is that if it is so, how we can get rid of this problem?
Okay, you have already concluded that in spiritual life everybody is creating his comfort zone. So you have already concluded. So what is the question then? Now I will answer to that question. If others are creating comfort zone, at least you don't create a comfort zone for yourself. If you think it is wrong, you don't do it yourself. Alright? You become a humble servant of the servant of the servant. Don't you try to train everybody, find everybody's fault, and it is something like that kettle is telling the pot, look, you're black. You become an example yourself if you can't change everybody else. If you're not in a position of authority, in a humble, submissive way, you try to follow. And if you can't follow, then as I say, if you can't accept the authority structure, you can go to Govardhan. And do the Nirjan Bhajan and see how it works. There probably you'll find a comfort zone for yourself. Yes, there will be comfort zones. And mind you, that comfort zone is created by Krishna. ISKCON is the comfort zone for the devotees. And that comfort zone has been created by Krishna. Because Krishna takes care of his devotees. Krishna wants to take care of his devotees. So Krishna creates the wonderful arrangement for his devotees. Does a rich man want his loyal servant to suffer? Does a rich man want his loyal servant to suffer? What does a rich man want out of his servant who is serving him so nicely? Doesn't he take care of him in all respects? So instead of seeing that the servant has a comfort zone, rather try to see how nicely the servant is trying to serve his master. Right? Because if you see only the comfort zone, your heart will become filled with envy. But if you see the service attitude of the person, then your heart will become purified. So Krishna consciousness is a process of purifying the heart. Nirmat saranam satam. Make your heart free from envy. If envy is there, Krishna will not enter there. Who has a question? You understood? You say it in English. I asked you to say it in English.
Sorry, she is asking, you can change your karma according to pious and impious activities. So can we change the modes of nature? Can we change, like, can we change ourselves in goodness or?
One can change, but it is very difficult. Because karma, through karma means by pious activities, you nullify your impious activities. By pious activities, you nullify the reactions of your sinful activities. But it doesn't work. It's very, very difficult. Because while you are performing pious activities, so many other impious activities are automatically taking place without even your knowing that. Okay, translate that into English, into Hindi. Nahi, jor se microphone se bolo. Taki hum bhi sun sake. Okay. In Hindi.
Jo hai, jo aur jo acha
वो उसको पुण्य कर्म के द्वारा पाप कर्म को क्षय साधन करना पूरा तरह बहुत मुश्किल है, बहुत कठिन है, प्राय तो असंभव है, ठीक है। बल्कि जब हम कृष्ण भक्ति को ग्रहण कर लेते हैं, कृष्ण को शरण ले, कृष्ण के शरण ले लेते हैं, तब क्या होता है, सारे पापों का क्षय हो जाता है। कृष्ण ने बोला ना, अहं त्वां सर्व पापेभ्यो मोक्षयिष्यामि, तो तब और पाप नहीं रहेगा। तो कृष्ण का शरण लेने से अगर इतना आसानी से पाप का क्षय होता है, तो और दूसरा तरीका से ये पाप को क्षय करने का प्रयास करने का क्या जरूरत है। और ये पाप का क्षय नहीं भी होता है, जैसे पाप का क्षय तुम जैसे कह रहे हो, भला काम के द्वारा, सत्वगुण के द्वारा पाप का क्षय साधन करना ये संभव नहीं, बहुत कठिन है। जैसे देखो, जमीन में कितने सारे बीजे पड़े हुए हैं, तो एक एक करके चुन के तुम कितना बीज उठाएगा, और जब बीज उठा रहे हो दूसरा बीज वहां आके गिर रहा है, गिरेगा, है ना। परंतु अगर तुम सारा जमीन को जला देते हो, आग लगा देते हो, ऐसा घास पत्ता जो पर जमा हुआ है जमीन में, उसमें अगर तुम आग जला देते हो तब क्या होगा, उस आग में सारे बीज भी भस्म हो जाएगा, तब और वो बीज से पौधे उपजने का कोई संभावना नहीं रहेगा। तो कृष्ण भक्ति का ग्रहण करना वो बीज को जला देने के तरह है। कर्मानि निर्दहति किंतु च भक्ति भाजन, सारे कर्मों को जला देते हैं, कोई कर्म का फल और नहीं बाकी रह जाता है, ठीक है। तो क्या करोगे तुम, सत्वगुण में पुण्य काम करोगे या भगवान को शरण लेके भक्ति करोगे? बहुत अच्छा, थैंक यू। यस स्विच इट ऑन, ओके नाउ इट्स ऑन, रिपीट इट, आई कुडन्ट हियर।
Within the spiritual family of Esau. So when you always told me that when we have difficulty with another negative entity, the correct understanding is that in some past time we may be picked with the same pain of this entity and now we just stay there entirely. And you also told me that if I remain humble and talking continually humble with these defeating ways of another negative family. So I understand this.
Well, I mean, if you feel that something is unfair or unjust, you know, take shelter of the authority. The authority, that's why the authority structure is so important. Like, it is there to rectify the mistakes and bring about justice, right? Okay. Well, if some situation is impossible to rectify, some relationships are impossible to establish, then better to maintain a distance until the situation becomes conducive again. Better to maintain it. I'm actually, you see, it's difficult in a large community because so many individuals are coming with so many different mentality, and some will be conducive, compatible, and some will not. So what to do, right? Let us find the compatible and conducive relationships and act on that. Because, you know, we can't be, you know, in most cases, probably we won't be able to deal with everyone in the same way. Yes, Odell, did you have a question? Oh, I see, I thought you raised your hand. Any other question? Yes, Krishnachan.
Hare Krishna, you mentioned how a devotee is always ready to accept whatever Krishna does for him. Should be ready to accept with open hand. In certain cases, we see how certain situations the devotee stands with the softer kinds of like a dear devotee is separated. Or if, certain things happen, sometimes the devotee cannot accept the softer. To accept that Krishna has this plan, but it still feels the lamentation and the... So, is that not a symptom of lack of surrender or how do you understand?
I couldn't get the point.
Like sometimes if say some devotee passes away or some certain thing like that might happen. So, at that time you cannot think that this is Krishna's arrangement. We cannot be served to the hospital. We still feel the lamentation. Like if some very dear devotee passed away or something like that. So.
Yeah, so what's the point?
Point is, but we cannot accept it as, many things we cannot accept it as Krishna's. Okay, let me accept it as Krishna's mercy. So. Then
consider why he can't accept it. Because of his sentiment. Right? Is everyone going to live here forever? Everyone is not going to live in the material nature forever. You know, someone will... All of us have to go sooner or later. So if somebody leaves... If somebody passes away, then if we think, why Krishna made it happen like that? Then am I being submissive to Krishna or am I trying to control Krishna? Why Krishna did that? Is that the submissive attitude or the controlling attitude? So you got the answer. To be submissive means accepting whatever Krishna's plan is, whatever Krishna's desire is. If I think why Krishna did that, that means I'm trying to control Krishna. I'm expecting that everything should happen according to my desire. When I want somebody to stay, he should stay. And only when I want somebody to leave, he should leave. Now, is that a submissive attitude? To be surrendered means accepting whatever Krishna wants. Marobi rakhobi jo ichha tohara. Again, we go back to that point, comfort zone. If Krishna makes a comfort zone for somebody, let him live in that comfort zone. And if Krishna creates a distress zone for me, so let me be in the distress zone. So what's the harm? That's Krishna's arrangement. To be submissive means just accepting everything the way it is and trying to improve my quality. Trying to improve myself. Not the ant thinking, why the elephant is getting so much food? The ant is not thinking, don't I have more than enough? I have more than enough. So why should I worry about how much the elephant has? So that is Krishna's arrangement. I am an ant, Krishna gave me one grain. And he is an elephant, Krishna gave him 100 kilos. And bottom line is, Krishna has given more than enough for everyone. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.